Hi, I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are part of Bell Street,
who are an events band and production company.
And we're here to talk to you about our fun and failures.
And our journey through being scared and just doing it anyway.
Today's special guest on the podcast is my dog, Nelly. If you hear any strange noises, it's her. And if we ever get round to putting out any kind of video content, which, you know, we record every podcast and then we never really put it out. So you might get to see.
Trying to settle Nelly.
Yes. The podcast.
The podcast, yeah. She wants to be involved. Yeah. Okay. Settled for a minute. That's nice.
Well,
what's today's theme?
Today's theme is, well, it's one of two things. It's either frogs.
Frogs, yep.
Or life's not a self-help book. So they're obviously very linked, those two themes.
Well, we were driving back from a gig a little while back and having a chat about all the different things going on in our life. And, well, you came out with that lovely phrase, life is not a self-help book.
And that is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we were talking about, I don't know what we were trying to implement. But the problem was, it's not this perfect setup and the conditions aren't set up for these lovely theories of how to live your life beautifully and, you know, be the change. So we thought we'd talk about that because we can't be the only people whose life isn't set up like a self-help book.
And when you're constantly trying to improve yourself or your surroundings, whether it's lifestyle or jobs,
your business,
or diets, or just trying to make yourself feel better and keep putting one foot in front of another. It's really hard.
Yeah.
At times.
It really is. And we were saying that it's, no matter how much you set yourself up for it, it is like, it's like a muscle. Trying to kind of remember to speak kindly about yourself, trying to remember to not say things like, oh, I'm set up to be poor forever, or no one's going to come to our musical. And then you have to correct yourself because you think, no, that's not true. And I'm not going to be the person who says that about myself, or I'm not going to do this thing that I always do. And but it's exhausting because it's like a muscle, and muscles, as we know, because we lift weights all the time. If you lift, that was irony. I don't know if that comes across on a podcast. No. But if you're lifting weights all the time, I hear, your muscles get sore, and it's hard work. It's not easy. And a new thing is like training a new muscle, and it takes ages for that muscle to be strong. And being aware and observant and all of those things is just, it can just be hard work. So we might reference today this book that Susan keeps mentioning.
Well, I just seem to hear a lot of people talk about this book at the moment from completely different parts of my life as well. The book is actually called Eat That Frog, and it's from a quote that talks about eating a frog a day.
And then nothing, if you eat, find the worst frog you can eat that day, and then nothing
else can be as bad as that for the rest of the day.
Yeah. I think that's an optimistic point of view, to be honest.
The problem is what about when you have a bucket full of frogs?
Yeah, that is a problem.
How do you choose them? Do you have to eat all of them? And that's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, but we would like to point out, neither of us have actually read the said book. We've read the title and made a podcast about it.
Yes. And also, we're not talking about real frogs.
Have you ever had frogs?
No. Nope.
Frog's legs or anything?
No, have you?
No, I've had snails that are on our to-do list for January. What does it mean then, when they're saying, find the worst frog and eat it.
Well, just find a frog, I think. It just is. The very worst thing you can do in the morning...
What is the frog? Because people will think you've genuinely lost it. Okay. What are you telling the good people of the internet?
So, well, my life consists of 1,000 to-do lists.
Yes, generally. I've seen the notebooks.
I buy a new notebook and I think I've got a lovely fresh notebook, and by the end of the week it's got a load of new lists, which are exactly the same as last year's probably. But once you write all those things down, there's an awful lot of things that you're looking at having to deal with in one go. So the frog would be, and I'm just talking about my to-do list, but the frog would be the biggest thing there that I really don't want to do.
The thing that if you're a procrastinator,
yeah, which I am,
you would put off.
Get up in the morning.
That's the thing you'd put off. Yeah.
100% if I could.
Yeah.
But the thing is, get up in the morning, look at your list. What's the biggest thing there? That is your frog. Do it there and then. Do it there
Eat
and
it.
Then. Eat the frog. Do the thing that is so difficult you really can't bear it. It's done. Is it a phone call? Is it a visit to somewhere that you don't want to go? Sometimes tackling those things, they're not actually that bad.
No.
But if you have got a list of things that are really, really horrible to deal with, and they look like jumping frogs that you've got to catch, and you've got to deal with them all, that is...
Yeah, you said earlier, a bucket. A bucket of frogs.
What's the saying? Mad as a box of frogs.
Box of frogs, yeah. What's a group of frogs called? Answers on a postcard.
Yeah, let us know. Write a comment underneath.
Yeah, engagement. Excellent.
Yeah. What is a group of frogs called?
This is actually, it's coming back to me. This is exactly the conversation we were having when I said that. Yeah. So we've been brainstorming. And one of the first problems we came across... was the fact that quite often in your life, not everyone is reading the same self-help book as you. And quite often, they're not reading a self-help book at all. And you're this nutter who's just addicted to podcasts or self-help books.
Or frogs.
And you're surrounded by people in your life who aren't on that frog-eating journey with you. And that can feel... like a real obstacle to put implementing any kind of advice into your life, because you're the odd one out doing it. And what we found really helpful is to find your tribe, which is such a cliche, isn't it?
It is, but I like it. I always like the thought of having a tribe.
I just can always imagine how a tribe is dressed, and it's a certain way that I don't want to dress.
What's your tribe like?
Well, I don't know what my tribe would be like.
No.
But the tribe I don't want to join.
But I think your tribe can wear whatever they like.
They can. You know. They can. It's just an image, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tribe doesn't sit with glamour in the same way as grass skirts.
No, I wasn't thinking grass skirts. I was more thinking like yoga trousers, but I have worn yoga trousers recently. Mm. But I don't want to join that tribe. No offence to yoga trousers.
But
whatever your tribe is wearing.
Yes. And our tribes evolve as well, as we evolve. Well, it's finding how to start making yourself feel better, or be the authentic person that you are, because it's very easy to just fall into this trap of just having to keep showing up with this person that you've been for such a long time.
Yeah. Life normally throws these people in your way. Finding some people who are thinking a similar way to you, mm-hmm. And beginning to adjust your surroundings is really important when it comes to making sure that you're surrounding yourself with people who are going to help you go in the direction that you want to go. And it's not always the same people for life, is it?
No.
There's people for a season, people for ever, people for 10 minutes, a stranger in the street, mm-hmm. like... It can be just, or a weekend away. I'm not talking about liaisons. I mean, like, well, once I remember I had a friend I made, I'll probably edit this out. Once I remember I had a friend I made, she was like my best friend for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was in Canada, and it was like, I just thought, this person has really changed how I think about things and this is amazing. Never spoke to her again.
No.
Like, we didn't write, we didn't email. Yeah. So it can be, you know, your tribe does evolve and will change with you. I think that what begins to happen when you begin to notice that you're not around people who are necessarily your tribe is certain emotions begin to come up that can feel negative, but actually you can use them positively. And
they can be a bit of a shock sometimes as well.
Yeah. But you know when you... Well, I think we both listened to the same podcast. And I think it was about irritation. When things irritate you, that it shouldn't be a negative emotion, that actually you should use that irritation. It might be a situation, it might be a person, it might be a job or whatever. You should use that irritation to launch yourself forward into that change that you want to make. Because why that thing is irritating you or that behaviour is irritating you is because you're no longer in step with that. And it's showing you something about yourself that you need to change. It's not about the behaviour or the job or the person or the situation. It's about yourself and that you need to change. And we were talking about, weren't we, that isn't always just irritation. Sometimes it's jealousy, fear, all those emotions that can feel really negative. Actually, if you can turn it round as a kind of springboard into, like, well, what does this mean I'm ready to change about myself and to grow a little bit more?
They're very difficult to harness as well and accept sometimes, because some of those feelings can be, personally, the ones when I feel things like that, it can be very irrational and I react very badly.
Yeah.
And to
I was just saying yes, like, yes, you do. Gosh.
We've been there enough times.
Well, we're both quite reactive, aren't we?
But being able to then acknowledge it and actually turn it around and look at yourself and go, what? Why? Now, we're not saying that other people don't do things that are just a trigger anyway, but actually when you're feeling it through your body, whole body and your cells, there is a change that has to happen.
And you can use it in a creative process as well, can't you? Because as Bell Street, you know, some things, you know, about, you know, you might see what other people are doing and it really, like, wind you up, or you feel really like, I wish that was us, or I wish we could do that. And actually, well, good. Let's look at that and think, okay, well, take away the negative side of that. What is the actual emotion? Is it that, okay, well, we need to start working on a bit more, trying to find a bit more income every month. We need to start satisfying, if we're jealous, you know, I don't know, maybe we need to start satisfying a creative part of us that isn't being fulfilled. And you can use it to reassess everything. But it's an interesting thing, because you've got to kind of, the muscle workout is catching yourself, isn't it? And not letting it turn into a negative thing or letting it be about somebody else. It's about kind of turning it around onto your project or your yourself and going, okay, right, that's good. What's the clue then that we need to change or that I need to change? So,
because if it's allowed to become a negative feeling, it also can be a feeling that will stop you.
Yeah.
Because actually, if you start feeling useless and what's the point, then actually the creativity dies.
Yeah.
Because your self-esteem also is being battered.
Yeah.
And your brain just then says, well, I just won't bother then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So you've got to work fast.
Catch yourself fast. Yeah.
Or find someone to talk to about it. Again, we always say we're so lucky because we do have each other. And especially to do with things with Bell Street, when, you know, things like that come up, we can kind of brainstorm together and say, well, why is that so confronting for us, you know?
Individually as well.
Yeah.
Because it's funny what triggers me that doesn't trigger you.
Yeah, it's never the same.
And then we're like, what?
Why are you so annoyed yeah. about that? I get so annoyed when people call us Bell Street Singers. It doesn't bother you at all, does it?
No.
It really annoys me. I need to work out why. Yeah, that's a kind of sidearm of the tribe thing. Mm. But it's something that's definitely come up for us quite a lot of times. And especially creatively, finding your tribe as well. Who are you... Well, it kind of links into who you're surrounding yourself with and what you're surrounding yourself with. Creatively and personally. Looking at your surroundings, they do really affect you subconsciously, almost as if you were a sponge. But and I was saying that, like, personally, something I've done is kind of, and it's from advice, and this wasn't anything to do with creative or job things, but it was to do with kind of just my own mental health, really, was looking at your social media feed and just sifting out anything that that's the message you don't want in your life, and that's a value you don't want in your life anymore. So it's about kind of curating your feed so that you're actively following people who are creative, actively following people who are positive and have kind of a mindset of yes, we can. Actively following, like, people who, you know, encourage confidence and being yourself and being brave. And you are subconsciously affecting yourself quite a lot with social media. A lot of us are doing that. And just when as you're scrolling, as if those are the kind of subliminal messages coming in, well, then that's better for me. And so, but I have taken quite a while to make sure I do that, and it has really affected, it's changed things for me, and I quite often uplifted by my social media feed rather than just find it stressful. Sometimes you find it stressful, sometimes you find it depressing. Yeah, so that's something you can practically do. And your tribe is your other thing that you can mm-hmm. practically do. What else?
Yeah.
In terms of your surroundings.
Yeah, surroundings. I mean, again, that might be a physical thing. Actually putting yourself outside into nature.
Yes. Yeah.
And actually being able to breathe, going for a walk, going for a swim. Lying
moving
down on
body.
The floor, just lie. But what if you're on the floor? You can't fall down, can you?
No.
Actually, being grounded completely on the floor can just realign
Haven't we done
things.
That? Wasn't there a rehearsal? We just, like, both of us were just like, need to be near the floor.
Yes.
Because mentally we just, I can't remember what it was for. But we both just needed to find our...
On the floor, yeah.
Our grounding again. Literally,
yeah.
Our grounding.
Yeah.
I forgot that.
Yeah. It's a good practice. If you're struggling, get on the floor. Just lie down.
The other thing I'm doing at the minute, I don't know if it works. I'll let you know. But there's a book that I'm trying to read. And it's very American and very wordy. But I like the kind of message behind it. And I think... I could benefit from what Anesh... It's about self-sabotage.
Okay.
But, like, it's quite long and quite wordy, and I just have it on while I'm doing other things. And I'm just hoping that, you know, like when you kind of used to have things on as you fell asleep to learn it for your exams, I'm hoping that... And it is slowly sinking in. I'm on, like, my sixth repeat of it. Mm. But, yeah, I'll let you know if that works.
What's it called?
It's called The Mountain Is You.
Okay.
It's very American.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, I like it. I like it. But I can't remember who it's. Say you're kind of beginning to adjust your tribe. Mm-hmm. You're beginning to adjust your surroundings. We were saying that really it's about... And we'll get back to the frogs now.
Okay.
The small things. Doing the small things. You can't do the big things all the time because life isn't a self-help book. Sometimes you just can only do a little bit, but consistently doing the little bit gets you a lot further than looking at the big thing and never doing it.
Mm. Well, in our last series, when we spoke to the lovely ladies at Fold,
yes,
Amber did say, I always get it wrong, but she did say, it's not about eating the elephant whole.
Okay, I so think elephant sprugs.
Yeah, mountains. Which confused me at the time. But I do, yeah. If you try and eat a whole elephant all in one go, you're going to get...
The frogs get left there?
Yes. Even if you had it as a starter. But you can't tackle a whole elephant. It's a lot of eating animals.
No. Have you ever eaten an elephant?
No.
No, neither of us.
Nope.
So why don't you tell the story of your bucket of frogs and all the small things?
Yes, well, I was speaking to a life coach a couple of weeks ago when I was having a chat with her about this very thing, and she was talking to me about the small things, even though it wasn't put across like that. That's how you talked about it tonight. So okay. It's all sort of come together.
Yes.
Get my words out. But we did go. I went through my diary and this huge to-do list, or bucket of frogs. And I just sat there and went through what could be done in January. What doesn't have to be done right now? And actually our focus at the moment is this big cabaret that we've got coming up. And there are things that have to be done by next week.
By next week. Yes.
So
it'll be over by the time this is out.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, just going through what actually has to happen. Which frog do I have to eat every single day? And if it gets too much, maybe put a lid on the frogs and walk away and go and do something nice. Go and do something else. If you can't deal with any of it, go and do something else for you.
So did you pick the worst frog? Like, you know how the quote says, pick the worst frog, or were you just like any frog? Lucky dip.
No, it was a lucky dip. But when I looked at the list, I could see exactly what had to be done. What could take 5 minutes in the morning? What would take half a day? And then I'd have to fit that in throughout the rest of the week. So I don't think there's a worse frog. I think they're all just
equally horrible.
Yeah, I quite like frogs, really. But these are...
But you've never eaten one.
I've never eaten one. I don't want to eat one. So it is just tackling one thing at a time, because overwhelm is just the most exhausting thing. And it just puts you into this paralysed state. Actually, I should say it puts me into... I shouldn't speak for everyone else. For me, overwhelm is one of the most horrendous feelings. And it's really hard to get out of once you're in it.
But it was a refocus, wasn't it,
mm-hmm.
of priorities. And it doesn't matter how often you do it. Eventually, all the frogs get jumbled up in this crazy bucket full of moving frogs, and you're like, oh!
Mm-hmm.
And refocusing and relisting
mm-hmm.
is really important. And I mean, just taking it practically about like putting on this cabaret, which is, we deliberately have tried to do something that's bigger than we've done before, with more people than we've done before. We wanted to challenge ourselves, and also it means a lot to us. So it's really important to us that it's successful. And also it's really important to us that the branding, you know, it's still good, because we're putting our name to it as well. So it's a very important thing to us, but sometimes it just feels, the to-do list has felt insane because there's so many moving parts to it.
Mm.
And so we have most weeks written down like lists and lists of things that we need to do, and then write, what can we actually do? And I think that's the first time that we've really had so many different things. And I guess the more people you involve, the more different things appear. And we've slowly begun to tick, tick, tick. And we're a week before. And I would say this is quite organised of us, for us.
We're not crying on the floor yet.
There's a week to go. There is a
But on the back of that, when we're talking about tribes and stuff, as Bell Street, we have to stay authentic to the tribe that we have, I say following us, I mean, Bell Street. But we do have...
Around us,
a brilliant tribe that we're working with. And we've got great people that are coming to see us and come and support us all over the place. So we do need to stay authentic so that we're honouring what they're expecting as well.
Yeah.
But yes, the to-do list, it is still pretty big, but
it's slowly shrinking. But then we keep thinking of things to add.
No one have any more ideas.
No. Well, that is one of our problems, is we have an idea and then it's our fault the to-do list gets bigger. But like things like that do kind of bamboozle us sometimes, that we can, if we force ourselves to, do, but we'd much rather not. Like the tech, we're nearly at the point where we can hand over the tech and be ready to say, this is your problem now, to the tech people who are good at what they do. And so that is what they enjoy. And, you know, isn't the brain fry that it is for us.
Mm. And we like to be quite tech heavy because we think it would make for a much better show, even though we don't really know a lot about it.
No.
So sorry.
We have very unrealistic expectations, but then we meet wonderful tech people who make them real. Bringing it back.
Yeah.
Like it's 1995. So we're nearly at the point where we can hand things over, and that is because we have been ticking off this to-do list. Whereas normally if we were only working with each other, we would be doing everything now, wouldn't we? So I think we've grown as a professional setup by making ourselves be more organized and practicing that discipline of delegation and finding people whose gifts are different to ours. And letting them help us.
Yeah.
And I guess it kind of translates to that whole refocusing, making the list that we talk about all the time, that is goal setting and holding yourself accountable to those goals, or reassessing those goals. We do set goals all the time, and sometimes it feels like we are, from the goals we've set and the things we've kind of challenged ourselves to do, we're kind of pedaling really, really fast down a hill and we can't put on the brakes. And we both know the point that we get to, we both are thinking we need to have a minute and reassess our goals. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? As Kerry from Alfred Radio helpfully said to us the other day, why are you doing this podcast? Does it even help you? And we need to assess that. And we assessed it, didn't we, before we decided to do it. And we were like, yeah. Yeah, that kind of goal setting thing and knowing when you need to slow down and reassess your goals. If the frogs are becoming some kind of plague of biblical proportions, then maybe you need to look at your goals and be like, right, okay. Have I been barking up the wrong tree? Am I trying to eat the whole elephant? No. Have we set to, you know, is our goal still on track?
Yeah, and they can, the goalposts can move as well.
You can adjust your goals.
You can. And keeping an eye on what that looks like as well, because it's very easy to get stuck in a rut with stuff as well, creatively. And what, for us, creatively, we know if something is feeling tired or doesn't
has
feel
a weird
right,
energy,
or we aren't, we just know if we're trying to do too many things, which one have we got to let drop for now? Or it's working out where your energy is going to go so that actually you're not going to drain yourself completely and stay excited by it all.
And that's why having all those things around you can help you be like the testing point. If you're around people who have a similar mindset to you and a similar ethos or a similar love for creativity, you can kind of test things with them. Like I said, we will talk things through with each other.
Another thing when you're setting and creating goals and reassessing and going back to the drawing board of your lists of everything, it is very easy to get caught up in being busy with it and always having to do something, especially I think with our phones, with social media, with emails coming in all the time.
Yeah, everyone has access to you always.
And you're expected to reply straight away.
Yeah.
If you were in an office job, if we were...
Solicitors.
If we were solicitors, can you imagine?
No.
This is about...
Imagine if we ran as solicitors.
The level.
No one would ever get divorced.
Get married. Yeah, you can generally turn off your emails at the end of the day, walk away from your desk. Not just solicitors, I mean, this is
yes, we're not picking on you.
But when you're waiting for gigs, or and it's in all different fields of work as well, but you're constantly there, ready to take an email, ready to answer a message.
Yeah, because that's our thing and that's what we do.
Yeah.
And most people in our field are most kind of active, like evenings, weekends, Monday mornings,
yeah.
Like 1 a.m. We often reply to emails at 1 a.m, don't we? Or like on the way home from a gig, we're like, oh, we've got to send that invoice. Or...
But it's hard to switch off. I think that's where I was going. And it's really important to switch off. And it's really important to take time for yourself. So... Another thing this lady was saying to me when we were talking about going through the week and the frogs. Also, block out a bit of time for you. What are you going to do in those few hours? Are you going to put music on? Are you going to go for a walk? Are you going to go and dance around your living room? Or what would you do? And I find it really difficult to take those moments. I have to sort of talk myself into them. And that it's okay to not do anything, just sit down and stare at the wall if I want.
Because we're followed around by guilt, really. And I think it doesn't really matter what your situation is, whether you're busy all the time, whether you have kids, whether you don't have kids, whether, you know, there's just guilt always. And I've definitely felt the guilt of not constantly... working on something, just in terms of not guilt really about what anyone else thinks, but of my own accountability as well. Like, well, you can't sleep on this because you need to make sure that la la la. And if you snooze, then that's it. You're not going to achieve that goal. But recently, I hadn't really noticed that I was doing that again because, like you say, it's so easy to access us, and also because So often we're kind of functioning, doing all the other things in our lives. And then if you do sit down, and often that's the time it comes up, like, oh, I didn't do that thing, or I didn't write that whole script, or learn that whole song, or choreograph the song we're doing next week. Those kind of things. And often with each other even, like, I'll sit down and be like, Susan, blah, 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 blah. And like Susan might be doing something that's completely nothing to do with us, and I'm just bombarding her, and vice versa, you know. If those times don't sync up, you just feel guilty, but you feel guilty if you don't remember to do it.
Mm-hmm.
My kind of discipline, which sounds so ridiculous, has been to, I've got a book, and I'm reading a book, and I'm trying to just make sure I read a little bit of a book. It's not about self-improvement, it's not about how to be a better singer, it's not about how to run a business, how to be creative, it's not a stupid book, it's just a book.
And it's not audible.
And it's not audible, because I read audible books all the time, because I love having noise and things in the background, and I love reading, I just don't have time to. But making myself read this book, it's going to take me ages. But it's been really difficult to kind of make myself do it. And I was saying to you earlier that you can't do anything else when you're reading a book. I tried to do it while I was like setting my hair in rollers for a gig, and you can't do that. Definitely can't do that. And then you can't wash up and do it. You can't text anybody back and do it. You have to focus on the book.
And it's retraining your concentration as well.
Yeah. But it's more the niggling guilt and me setting a boundary in my head and going, I'm going to go read this book for 20 minutes, even when I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will stick, but I just think in terms of like, I didn't realise how much every time I sat down I was doing something. And it's just in terms of screen time, how unhealthy it is for your eyes and your brain and your dopamine levels. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other podcast, one that probably we shouldn't deliver. So yeah, being kind to yourself and trying to put a lid, like we said earlier, on the bucket of frogs for a minute. They'll all still be alive when you come back, probably. Mm-hmm. Drill an air hole in.
I would definitely put an air hole in.
Yeah. They're not going anywhere.
Yes, they will be there for when you re-return. And we're not saying put things off.
No.
We're just saying make them manageable.
Yeah, and make sure you pause.
Yeah.
So that's been a little bit of a box of frogs in terms of a podcast. But this is where our minds went, and we try to just talk to you about things that we're dealing with, and this is something that we this autumn have really, the energy for this autumn has been really interestingly a little bit challenging, would you say?
Yeah.
Not just for us, I don't think, either. It's like autumn, it's great for goal setting. We always talk about goal setting in September and how exciting it is, but then in terms of motivation, it's just dark and cold and hard. So this is something that we've kind of been living and we wanted to talk about, and it affects people creatively and personally as well. We'd love to hear about how you feel about frog's legs.
Mm-hmm. And what is a group of frogs called?
What is a group of frogs called? But also, we'd love to hear about if you have any thoughts. What are your tactics for those crazy to-dos list? Because we're always ready to learn.
Yeah. If it doesn't involve animals, then that would also be great.
That would be helpful because we've run out of illustrations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our podcast is, the theme of our podcast and a strong theme in our lives is just getting on with it and doing it. And we're not saying anything against that message, but this is a tool for how to keep your head above water when you have just jumped in. And it's important to be able to keep swimming. So if you find yourself in the swamp,
mm-hmm,
surrounded by frogs,
yeah,
and none of them look particularly appetizing.
Nope.
Our advice would be, just eat it anyway. 'Cause aren't we lucky? And aren't you sad that you don't have a Joni and a Susan? We should have like a cartoonist illustrate our podcasts with all our metaphors, and then no one would know what was going on at all. It's just these frogs and elephants, goalposts walking around,
being bamboozled,
random dog snoring.
Can I just say that I really like the word bamboozle, and I've not heard it for
bamboozle
long.
Did I just say
yes
it?
bamboozle.
Mm. Do you remember there was a game on CFAX called Bamboozle?
No,
do you remember that?
No. Brilliant.
Bamboozled.
I love a yoga trouser.
Yeah. Well, you look good in them. I look like Victoria Wood in them. Anyway. Like, you are a sponge, really. Did you know that? Take that out.
Sorry.
Really? You're just a sponge eating a frog.
Just, you're safe on the floor, I always think.
Well, unless you're ice skating.
Which is why I don't ice skate, because that's my biggest fear.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, our ice skating discussion.
Okay, don't get on the floor if you're ice skating.
No.
We are full of inspirational quotes today.
If we don't get some kind of book signing, yeah, I'll be shocked.